Well, and we have a couple amendments that I think are not controversial. So, Ann, why don't you tell us about those, and then we'll invite Mike Dewey and Tim Kennedy to come up. They can come up now if they'd like. I don't see Mike.
They're on their way from with me.
All right.
Here. And we can go backwards. Dash A5 amendments are simply conflict amendments to resolve conflict with House Bill 2212. And the dash A4 amendments do two things. One, permits shareholders to authorize by electronic means proxy voting, to authorize a proxy act on a shareholder's behalf. And then, second, permits for-profit healthcare service contractors to merge or consolidate with other insurers or for-profit healthcare service contractors. And if you remember correctly, if you remember, the original bill specified procedures for merger and consolidation of different business entities, and the healthcare service contractor conversion is one that was not addressed in the original bill.
Now, as I understand, we've been waiting for an opinion from the Attorney General's office or from the CBS about one of the amendments, and we now have that opinion.
Well, Mr. Chair, DCBS has signed off on the A4 amendment, and we'll issue if the committee would like to hear from the division.
All right. Well, let's have Mr. Dewey and Ms. Kennedy come forward first.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
Before we get there, I understand the proxy part. Is that part of Mr. Dewey's amendment too, or is that sponsored by someone else?
It is not
part of the amendment.
It's a separate issue and brought to the committee by the Oregon State Bar.
And by the two law professors also that chaired the committee that rewrote it. We can talk about that also. Good afternoon.
Good morning, afternoon.
Or good morning. Yeah, my committee usually works needs to answer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Mike Dewey, ODX Health Plans, and thank you for allowing us to offer a couple amendments, essentially the same amendments, though, to Senate Bill 145. With me is Jim Kennedy, who is an attorney that works with ODX Health Plans, and he will explain, and we're passing out testimony from him and the President CEO, Robert Godey, who could not be here, of ODS Health Plans. If you will explain the rationale for the amendments and why we need to attach these amendments to Senate Bill 145. So if you'd allow Mr. Kennedy, he will speak to what we're attempting to do here. Thank you.
Jim, if you could identify yourself for the record and begin.
Sure. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Jim Kennedy. I'm an attorney practicing in Portland with the firm of Kennedy & Kennedy, LLP. As Mr. Dewey indicated, our firm represents ODS Health Plan, Inc. Unfortunately, Robert Godey is the Chief Executive Officer of ODS Health Plan, Inc., is not able to attend today, so he has provided you with his written testimony in favor of the amendments to Senate Bill 145. ODS Health Plan is an indemnity, and it desires to convert to a healthcare service contractor under the Oregon Insurance Code, based on the fact that because its primary business is that of selling group health insurance to employers and other groups, it feels that a health service contractor is more compatible from a regulatory standpoint with its primary business. Now, we've taken a look at the question of conversion and have concluded that the simplest, least confusing, and most cost-effective manner of converting from an insurer to a healthcare service contractor would be by merger, in which a newly organized healthcare service contractor would acquire all of the assets and all of the liabilities of the insurer. We're aware of at least one other insurer that currently desires to convert to a healthcare service contractor. Even though a merger is the most cost-effective way of converting, an issue exists as to whether that's permissible under the Oregon Insurance Code. While it's clear that a healthcare service contractor has authority to merge with an insurer, Some have questioned whether an insurer, in fact, has authority to merge with a healthcare service contractor. And these amendments are designed to clarify that issue. What Section 67 does is it makes it clear that any domestic stock insurer, mutual insurer, reciprocal insurer, or for-profit healthcare service contractor can merge with another of the same type. What Section 68 does is provide that if a healthcare service contractor is the surviving corporation in a merger, that it will be subject to all the duties and liabilities of a healthcare service contractor under the insurance code. These amendments do not raise any regulatory concerns and do not reduce or change the level of regulatory scrutiny that would be given to a conversion by merger. A conversion by merger would, in fact, be subject to the rigorous regulatory approval standards set forth in ORS 732.528. For these reasons, I urge this committee to approve the amendments to Senate Bill 145 in Section 67 through 72, and be happy to answer any of your questions.
Any questions on Sections 67 through 72, which are the ones that specifically relate to the points brought out by Ms. Kennedy? And I note that 74 includes emergency clause. And
Mr. Chair, that was also part of the Mr. Dewey and the insurance division's amendment.
I'm sorry, I forgot to include that text.
And reason for the why the emergency exists?
Because of changing regulatory standards nationally through the NAIC, National Association of Insurance Commissioners, these conversions are desired to take effect this year.
Thank you. I see no questions on that. Roger, you had a question about Section 65, which deals with a proxy by facsimile.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I guess I was curious. We recently passed a Senate bill dealing with proxy by electronic means, and I was wondering if that's what the response was between why we have a conflict amendment now, but I know that was a conflict with a House bill.
We have
Mr. Chair, I understood that bill wasn't moving this session, and that specifically why we're doing what the committee was being asked to do here. So what's to the representative from Barter?
Mr. Olson, yes. You want to make some forward? Thank you for your
testimony. Mr. Chair, Mr. Putnam, who's my committee minister, is also here. He, you know, the bill came through my committee, and so he may be able to answer.
Mr. Putnam, come forward, please. Or whoever can shed light on this.
Chairman, a tiny bit of light, perhaps. There were amendments to the bill we passed out. The committee did not get in on the act on. And possibly, as I look at this language, this might possibly be taking care of what they had hoped to do with those amendments, not at all. And that's the only cut I was having.
This is Mr. Chair, members, this is the entire original bill, as I understand it, that was introduced with regard to electronic proxy voting, the text of the original bill. Not the bill as amended, but the text of the original bill that was...
Well, let's see if I can catch up here. This is a bill that passed the Senate, and then Roger heard it in the House.
No.
Mr. Chair, the bill I'm speaking of was a Senate bill that came over...
Senate Bill 938? If you could just wait for me to check my stats.
All right, we will.
About a half.
That's a good question. I remember it. That makes sense to have. We do some real estate transactions. We do it in financial institutions, as we see it all the time. Or relation to electronic voting or email. It's not a state, apparently. Is your committee still open? Well, actually, that's in tomorrow. But we were shut down about 2 weeks ago, but we closed on the street. I had to take back and we'll keep confident.
We all open on the budget.
You can at least sit for a couple minutes while Ann's checking that out.
Sure.
About whether or not the bill as it sits wherever it is right now is amended to the pleasure of the proponents, but I can tell you that what you're looking at here is the original bill. The bill passed the Senate floor on the 20th of May. The Senate bill passed the House floor on the 20th of May. And perhaps it's one of the goals that the fact it was amended. No, it wasn't amended, so it wouldn't become a useless term. Anyway.
So you're telling us then the section 65, we don't need that, is that correct?
I'm telling you that, yes.
And then probably section 66, is that necessary?
I'd say page 1, at least, page 1, lines 7 through 24. Page 2, page 3, page 4.
That's true. Yeah. Dash 4, dash 5, or...
We're looking at the dash 8 scores at the moment. And...
Right up to section 67, correct. So up to page 5, line 19.
So if
we could just take those out.
We'll go into work session then on Senate Bill 145, and the chair then would move to delete.
If you would generally, Mr. Chair, simply delete the provisions that relate to electronic authorization of voting by proxy, and that way if there's any of the... technical changes in here. I want to make sure I don't affect Mr. Dewey's amendment at all, but if you just did it by concept, then I could make sure that happens.
Chair, move conceptually amend the dash A4 amendment to Senate Bill 145 to delete the electronic proxy amendments, which basically take us to section 67. Discussion, objection, so ordered. Then the chair would move the remainder of the dash A4 amendments to Senate Bill 145, which deal with the amendments from Mr. Kennedy and Mr. Dewey. Discussion? Objection? Support. Then the chair would move the dash A5 amendments, which are concept amendments. Discussion? Objection? So ordered. The chair then would move Senate Bill 145 as amended to the both floors of the two-pound recommendation. Discussion? Objection? Thank you.
That's
right.
Before they leave.
Who had an earlier conference committee?
I thought when we non-concurred on March 18th, you know, we were going to, they're just slow in getting the department. Anyway. Well, we'll adjourn.
If everyone's waiting and signing, just...